The politically correct statement is happy holidays. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas. What do you think Mary did with the crown that baby Jesus brought to earth with? Where did she keep it? He didn't have one, did he? What do you think she did with his royal robe? A little tiny one. Purple. He came naked, didn't he? This is the one that walks with us in the valley of the shadow of death. So for us, right in these four corners here, for us today, is the valley of the shadow of death. Anybody here expect to live to be 100 or more years old? Some of us are close to that. How much evil do you fear? When we really think about it, and we allow the Lord to live in our heart, he says perfect love does what? Cast out all fear. All fear. And yet, when you read the Bible casually, it says for us to fear God, doesn't it? Is that the same fear? One is an awe, isn't it? Happy holidays. It is a Merry Christmas, isn't it? I'm going to go to the back of these pages and just listen to these words. I'm satisfied with just a cottage below. How does that apply to you right now? Are you satisfied with just a cottage here below? It's kind of got a two-way street, doesn't it? We're satisfied because that's what God has given us right now. But what did he promise in John 14? He says, now in my Father's house, forget about your cottage, in my Father's house are many mansions. And what he's saying is, that's enough to cover all of you. Now, my wife and I, we would only need one room, right? But the song says, I'm satisfied with just a cottage below. In a way, I'm satisfied. Because I don't need more than what the Lord has provided. But I want all that he does provide. And mostly, what I want is his indwelling all the time. I want to be his little cottage while we're here. I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver, and a little gold. We have enough. We don't think we do from time to time. But every time we walk out of the store, nobody stops us because they got part of our little silver and part of our little gold that we call ours, but it's his, isn't it? But in that city where the ransom, where the ransomed will shine, I want a gold one. And I asked my wife, I said, what is that one? I want a gold one. Do I want a gold cottage? Because that's all the song has talked about, wasn't it? Do we want a cottage? There is a song back 100 years ago when I was born. And it says, Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. I don't want that. I don't want a cottage in heaven. We would be oddballs, wouldn't we? We would not be allowing the Lord to provide who the Lord is. Everything about the Lord is gold carat, isn't it? Gold carat. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. Did you hear that line? It doesn't say I'm going to get one, but what? I've got one. And that reminds me of what Paul said in the writings. And he talks about certain women whose names are written in the book of life. To me, that's wonderful. That's a good holiday spirit. Every day with the Lord is a holiday. I have been commuting, or not commuting, that's the wrong word, but talking with or computerizing with a person who belongs to the Jehovah's Witness Church. And it's very hard to do because they view Christ as being created. And what kind of a created being can save another created being? It seems so hopeless at times. But I've got a mansion, and Paul says, the way I interpret it is, that with the Lord in your heart, your names are written where? In the book of life. Now just dwell on that for a second. Richard, wonder what color your name is written in, what ink. I like to think of all of them as blood red, don't you? That silver light. We serve a wonderful Savior. He provides us with holidays and holy days. Every day with the Lord will be a holiday that is holy. In that bright land, it says, we will never grow old. Now, is that true? Think about it. When does old begin? You know, we start aging from conception, right? Chad, when you were two, if we could make two of you here, that two-year-old would look at you and say, he's old. Now, how old is God? He's so old that they call him what? The Ancient of Days. You can't even count them. Now, can you be old and elderly? Can you be old and not be elderly? That's what I want in that city. We need somebody to turn the air on for you ladies back there. Could we kind of do that, Paul, for them?
They are okay.
Oh. And someday yonder, we will never more wander. My wife was over there brushing her teeth, and I was standing there talking to her. That's the only time I can talk to her, while she's brushing her teeth. I said, now, honey, is she home? I said, how do you spell wonder? She took her toothbrush out. She said, W-O-N-D-E-R. I said, no, honey. That is wonder, isn't it? But we will not W-A-N-D-E-R. We have a straight pathway. And those straight pathways says, and someday yonder, we will never more wander, but walk on what? Streets of purest gold. And it's not just going to be a yellow substance. It's going to be transparent, and we're going to be able to look down in it. Now, listen to it. I ought to bring Terry up and have him sing it. I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold, but in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one that's silver lined. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we will never grow elderly. We will grow old. We will live as long as God lives. Now, can you imagine that? Living as long as God lives. We will not have lived as long as God has lived. But when we get there, we will live as long as God continues to live. Somebody ought to preach a sermon on that. Chad, you put that in your book. And someday yonder, we'll never more wander, but walk on streets of purest gold. And would you believe that is an introduction to the sermon? So how long is this sermon going to be? We've entitled it Comings, Goings, and Staying. And since all of that's confusing, we're not going to stay in any order. We're just going to have story time. We have kids' time. And when you talk about how old God is, we're children. We're embryos. We're still in the womb. We hadn't even gotten started. But it's going to be a great time. In Genesis 3:8, it says that something happened in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden. What was that? Huh? I hear mumbling. So Jesus came walking. And I don't imagine that was the first time that he came. I imagine he came every day. Why were these people special, these two people? They were created in the image of God. Does that mean they had eyes and nose and ears and that's what God looks like? Physical appearance is not all that's involved in the image of God. When you think about God, he is long-suffering and good. Nobody's good but God. But at that time, they were good and gentle, loving, merciful. Gracious, that is in the image of God. And here we find that Jesus would come many days and talk with his sinless creation. His species called man. Now you women all know that you're a man, don't you? You're not a male, but you're a man. We are the species, man. So in this Bible story, we find that our grandmother and our grandfather started out with no history of sin. No history. And that was God's idea, that it should always stay that way. And when he gets us in the kingdom again, he's going to expect that again, is he? That the same hatred and the abhorrence of ugliness we will share with him, so that it won't happen again. And the Bible tells us that God will joy over us with what? Singing. You ever heard God sing before? You know, he even talked about Lucifer being able to sing all the parts. I guess he could sing all the parts that he was enabled to. But when God is not limited, what kind of a voice is that going to be? And he's going to be happy that we're there. Because all of us will be there with no history of sin. So how can you say we have no history of sin? Here we are. Anybody here not a sinner? If any man, girls and boys, be in Christ, they are what? A new creature. So does God go down and dig up your bones and put them back together and put the same old weak eyes back in you? He doesn't do that. We're brand new. We're starting over as Adam and Eve. I like that. That's a holiday feeling, isn't it? Let's enjoy the holidays. And that was just the first text, and I've got about 3 or 4 pages of them. And then the bad starts. In Genesis 3, we find that this God tells his fallen creation, who are now not sinless, but are sinful. And he says that we're going to go on a trip. And he says that if we do wrong, that we will return to the ground and we will become dust. So have you looked down the road a little ways? How old do you think you have to be before you fulfill that? Any of you dread it? Can you imagine not existing? Can you imagine your mate going on without you? But there's a glorious other end of that, isn't there? And that's found in 1 Thessalonians 4. And what does that one say? For the Lord himself shall do what? Descend from heaven with a shout, trump, voice of the archangel, and who? The dead in Christ shall do what? New creatures everywhere. New holiday season. Then in Genesis 4, it's the story of Cain. And in Genesis 18, we find God coming back again. What happens in Genesis 18? Well, it seems that Sarah is back in there making tacos. And Abraham, like every good husband, is sitting in the door of the tent. And who does he see coming? It wasn't in the cool of the day, but it was the same God that was in the Garden of Eden. And this God demonstrated such humility that he allowed Abraham to wash his feet. Do you remember what Peter told Jesus when Jesus was about ready to wash his feet? He kind of had a good idea that the Lord was much higher than he was. And he said, no, you ain't going to wash my feet. But here we find divinity allowing himself to be touched by the Creator. You and I are the created. And how are we going to be allowed to touch the Creator? When he holds us in his arms. That's for you. And when I say you, it's each individual. And you could be saying, that's for me. Out of all of the created beings in the world, we say the world, we think this is it, don't we? Universe is a term I should say. We're going to have at least one experience of like when the disciples were shooing away the women with the babies, and all they wanted was what the Lord, only the Lord could provide. And Sister White says that the baby that Jesus was holding when he was preaching, Jesus was preaching and holding that baby, and the baby went sound asleep. Every night we should go sound asleep in the arms of Jesus. And he makes it available. And he asks us to do that. We've got to think of ourselves as special. I know we discuss peculiar. And we usually think peculiar is not too good. But it would be rather peculiar to see you in the arms of Christ. Can you imagine being at home in the new earth and look out the window and seeing the Lord come walking down the street? I don't know that he had ever come by himself. Everybody would be right on him, wouldn't he? And that's the way it was. Those are comings that the Lord demonstrated. There were many places. Moses at the burning bush. The Lord had already come, and he was there when Moses got there. And how do we know it was the Lord and not just an angel? Take the shoes off of your feet, for the ground on which you stand is what? Who makes things holy? Joshua, when he meets this individual with a sword drawn, and Joshua says, are you with us or against us? What does he say? Take the shoes off of your feet. What's it going to be like to be allowed to fall on your face in adoration? Sister White describes the meeting of the two Adams. You didn't find the earthly first man running up and shaking the Lord's hand, patting him on the back and say, how are you, buddy? But where was he? He was face down in adoration and in love and in bewilderment that he himself, the Christ, was there. And Adam, how can I be here? How can we understand the love of the Lord? Sometimes my wife will say, just accept it. That's the way it is. Get over it. And I'm always trying to figure out why, how. She says, that's the way it's going to be. And Sister White says that the Christ gently lifts him up. And shows him all of his descendants. I want to be one of those. I can be one of those. But not by my righteousness, but because I believe him and I've accepted his call. Then you have the story of Gideon and Manoah's wife. Do you remember the story of that Manoah's wife? You remember she was barren, and the angel of the Lord came and promised her. And I guess her husband, Manoah, didn't necessarily believe it. But sure enough, he came again. And what I got out of that story is, regardless of who we are, the Lord has an answer that will keep us straight, leading to Him. That was a great story. This is a story right out of the Bible here. You remember the story about the talking donkey? Wonder what the donkey said. Hey, dummy, I can't go. The road's blocked up here. And you know what the tragedy of that story was? Is that he who was created in God's image did not recognize godliness. But the donkey who was sinless and who can never sin recognized. We want to always be able to recognize. You remember the story of Samuel and Eli? Now, which one of those two had a good story and which had a bad story? You remember that? You remember? Samuel was a child and he kept hearing an old man call him. The old man kept saying, "No, it wasn't me. Go back to bed." That went over and over and over, and finally the old man realized and said, "Yes, Lord, here am I." When are we going to learn to say that? When we think we can't do, "Lord, here am I." And by saying "Lord," then you know He's there also. So we're not just here by ourselves. Here am I. When you think about "am I," you turn that around and you're talking to who? The I am, aren't we? That's a Bible story in the Bible. Then there's always yucky stuff. There was a handwriting on the wall. How did that turn out? Justice was meted, wasn't it? Meanie, meanie, what else? Tekel, tekel, upsharon. Thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. We're being weighed in the balance. But if your heart is allowing Christ in it, you don't care about any balances because it's already been weighed out just right. Girls that want to weigh 120 pounds, that's what they get. Now we have a story of Gabriel and Zechariah and Elizabeth, Gabriel and Mary, Gabriel and Joseph. How in the world does Gabriel get into the picture? How in the world does Gabriel get into the picture? We had one who decided to leave his first dwelling. We had one who said, "Righteousness is not for me." And Gabriel, like a hungry puppy, says, "I'll take it. Here am I." Can you imagine someone speaking with you and the first words out of their mouth is, "I have come from the direct presence of the I am." So it can be done. We can be there. That could be our experience. Do you want it? I'll take about 7 more minutes. I'm watching the clock. But we're not getting anywhere near the end of this sermon. Now, we want to talk about women a little bit. And we find that the greatest message given in the Bible were given to women. And what was that message? He's alive. Christ is risen. And the Lord took time out to come back and assure them. And he told them very plainly, do not touch me. And what was his reasoning? Because you're women? What was his reasoning? And why would he say that? What difference would that mean? He'd be contaminated? When you read what Sister White says, Christ wanted to get the final word from the Father for the benefit of all the universe, that what he had done was accepted. Now then, is a Christian supposed to do what the Lord directly commands you? So they didn't touch him, right? No, they grabbed him. They held him by the feet, and they did what? They worshiped him. Now, do you remember the story of Jacob? You see, sometimes the Lord allows himself to be touched. Was Jacob touching the Lord? But what was the reason? Because Jacob was not being presumptuous. These women were not being presumptuous. The intentions of God's children are always to honor deity. Christ will always accept that. He will allow us. So whereas he told the women, don't touch me, that same day, he told Thomas what? Touch me, handle me, look. And why did he do that? Because he had zapped up to heaven and zapped back. Is that a coming? How many times has the Lord come? How many more times will he come? Does the Holy Spirit come to you about every minute of the day? What would we do without it? Now, I could go on and on and on, and all you're going to come away with is how wonderful the Lord is. And he is not so wonderful that you and I cannot enjoy him. And so I'm going to read this little thing again, and whoever's going to have the closing song, if you'll kind of get in that mood. I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, because that is what Jesus gives me right now. With a little silver and a little gold, that's because of what Jesus gives me right now. But in that city, and what city is that one? The one that comes down from God out of heaven, and it is called what? The New Jerusalem. But in that city where the ransomed, who in this room is part of the ransom? Let me see your hands. Amen. That was a high price, wasn't it, that the heaven paid? You remember the story of the 10-cow woman? The boy wouldn't just give one cow or two cows or three cows, but he paid a price that was well worth the lady. And that's what heaven has done for us. You should always think of yourself as being a 10-cow woman. The Lord has given us more than what we could ever dream of. Talking about this one, he says, about the cottage. I want a gold one that's silver lined. I may be living in a little dinky cottage. Look how little this cottage is. He's little and he's dinky. But one of these days, I'll be a gold one. And I'll be silver lined. And it won't be because of my righteousness, but because of his purity and his indwelling and him not being ashamed of me. I've got a mansion, and I also have my name written in the book of life. What could Satan offer me that would be a temptation? What is it? And we talk about the Jews and how terrible they were. Who are we? In that bright land where we will grow old, but not elderly. I'm growing elderly and old. And someday yonder, we will never more, WANDER, but walk on streets of purest gold. Shall we pray? Loving Father, how can we say thank you? How can we love you in a way that causes you to smile? Our greatest wish, dear Father, is that you be pleased with us. And as a congregation just now, with each individual desiring to be pleasing before you, we ask you to accept us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.